Everybody had a really wonderful Sunday and wonderful Shabbos and weekend all together. So just to continue on in our discussion of some of the legal mechanisms of Kiddush HaChodesh. So in broad strokes, what we've tried to articulate is this idea that the testimony and the process of witnessing the sanctification of the new month seems to deviate from standard protocols in a variety of different ways. And we think that it's essentially all attributable to the fact that this isn't like a witnessing something private and idiosyncratic that Reuven lent Shimon $1,000 or that a particular crime was committed. You're talking about a natural phenomenon that's essentially inevitable and that ultimately is visible to everybody. So, for example, we saw Rabbi Shimon's view that relatives can testify together. We saw the view that the Mishnah had to say that avadim, slaves who are always invalid for testimony, are invalid here as well, as if to say, yeah, you might have thought that they would have been valid as well. So here in our Mishnah, we're really going to see this principle come to life in a variety of different ways. So on background, in general, Beis Din cannot start any proceeding at night. They can finish a proceeding at night. And so lurking in the background of the first statement of the Mishnah is this idea that, let's say, the process of the testimony, the witnesses come to the court and they start testifying about it. Let's say they're fully interrogated and the process simply hasn't been completed during the daytime. It's completed at night. Maybe that will work, and we'll talk about that. Again, that would be the standard format, and this will be a deviation from that as well. Beis Din are not mekadesh as a chodesh balayla. They have to wait till the next day, and that creates this kind of a tension in the system because, of course, when do you see the moon? You see the moon at night, sometimes a little bit before the stars come out, before Tzeis HaKochavim, but that's going to be important on background as well. And one other detail which is important on background is that, generally speaking, anytime you require a court of three, a Beis Din Shel Shalosh, there is a principle that a single individual who's a true expert, a yachid mumcha, can take the place of the court of three. And we're going to see that again, when it comes to sanctification of the new month, that it is an exception to that rule as well. So let's jump right in. Ra'u Beis Din v'chol Yisrael. So the thought is, like, everybody sees that the moon is out, right? So that you might think that there's no need whatsoever, because it's absolutely clear to go through the motions of actually coming to the court and sanctifying the new month and having the Av Beis Din say Mekudesh and everybody answering Mekudesh, Mekudesh. And that's really exactly the point. You know, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim, is this has been a way of empowering the Jewish people. So even though it's abundantly clear what happened to the Beis Din, to the entire Jewish people, the process is still required. Likewise, Nechkaru HaEdim, let's say that you fully interrogated the witnesses, and the only thing that's missing, literally, you're done with the court case, and, you know, let's say night falls at 8 o'clock, and it's 7:59, and the clock strikes 8, and all that hasn't happened yet is that the head of the court has to say, it's sanctified, Mekudash, and the answer is, Mekudash, Mekudash, Elohi Spiku Lomar Mekudash, Etcha Chashecha. The halacha is hareze meubar. That means that the month will be delayed for another day. In other words, that it can't take effect. The Rosh Chodesh cannot take effect that day because it wasn't stated so by the Jewish people, by their representation in the Beis Din. Again, it's a very empowering, it's a very anthropocentric halacha. It deviates, again, from the standard principle when it comes to din, that tchilas din is bayom and sof din is balayla. And again, just in case you were wondering, how do we know that Kiddush HaChodesh is considered a form of din in general? Maybe it should be outside the realm of din altogether. The Pasuk says, and we say it so prominently in Rosh Hashanah, Ki chok li Yisrael hu mishpat leilu ha-Yakov. It's governed by the general principles of mishpat. Ra'u Beis Din, let's say you have a court of 23, right? A mid-level court between 3 and 70. So they're the only ones who saw it. Yamdu shnayim v'ya'idu bifnehem. So two of the justices who actually witnessed the new moon, so they will be the witnesses, and everybody else will see, will function as dayan. And v'yomru mikudash mikudash. And they indeed will say mikudash mikudash. And the question here is, you know, what exactly is going on? If all 23 people witnessed it together, the Gemara says, Shalotehe Shmiya Gedolim Meri'iyah, why can't they just say all together, we saw the new month? And the answer is, well, they can, as long as it's still daytime, right? But since they can't sanctify the new month at night, right, so the question is, what do you do in that situation? So the Mishnah, this is the approach of the Bar Tanura and maybe the approach of Rashi as well. So the Mishnah is saying is that if it was witnessed at night, then the next day what has to happen is two of the individuals who witnessed it on the court will come and testify in front of their 21 friends. The Bali Atosis have a kind of a fascinating view. They have a novel view. They says, since Re'iyah, since their witnessing of the new month, effectively takes the place of Kabbalas Edus, of their having received the testimony. That's the principle of Ein Shmiya Gdola Meiriya, that if they're seeing it themselves, it's the equivalent of them receiving witnesses. So just like you can't receive witnesses at night, maybe you shouldn't be able to sanctify the new month based on what you witness at night either. So that the only way that Beis Din could actually participate in terms of consecrating the new month by saying that we're the ones who witnessed it ourselves is if they witnessed it before nightfall and then were able to, again, say before nightfall, Mikudash, Mikudash. So again, normally in halacha we have a principle that a witness cannot be a judge and a judge cannot be a witness. And here again you have a deviation from that, because clearly all of these individuals who are on the panel of judges who witnessed the new month, they function as dayanim after they having served as edim. So once again, another deviation, we can add that to our list. Ra'u shlosha v'hin Beis Din, final halacha in the Mishnah. If you said the court of three, so what you have is yamdu hashnayim, two of them will get up and function as the witnesses, as we just explained, by the same parameters. V'yoshuvu mechavireihem etzal yachid v'ya'idu bifneihem. They can't just leave the remaining one justice on the panel, even if he is a mumcha, even if he's the greatest expert in the world. Because remember, when Moshe was first given the mitzvah of Kiddush HaKodesh, what does the pasuk say? It's an unusual pasuk. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon be'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor. Nobody could be a greater expert than Moshe Rabbeinu, and even he alone was not able to function in a solitary fashion in the context of sanctification in the new month. He too required Aharon, so too you see that a yachid, a single individual, cannot function as the receiving panel when it comes to Beis Din. So you have to be Moshe v'shnayim echavriyem right next to him, v'yomer mekudash mekudash she'ena yachid ne'eman al yidei atzmo, that you always need a panel of three. So again, many different manifestations, many different applications, but what the repeating phenomenon seems to be is that this process of sanctification in the new month truly deviates from the norms that we're used to in terms of the protocols, the standard processes of a Jewish court, standard rules of testimony and receiving testimony. And we think, again, that has to do with the fact that this is going to be an inevitable natural phenomenon eventually witnessed by everybody. And that creates a kind of downward pressure on the system in terms of the role of the witnesses and the judges altogether. In many respects, we're going to be more lenient. In some respects, we'll be more stringent. Like this last halacha, that you can never have a yachin mumcha. You always require a panel of three, no matter what. So that would be a stringency. And so many leniencies associated with this same phenomenon in terms of how it's aberrant from standard practices of testimony.